Titus chapter 2. It was not unusual when I was just a child to hear people talk about a sound church or sound preaching. And sometimes when that statement was made or that phrase was used, it had reference to mostly those who at that time were going to oppose that which was the apostasy of the day of institutionalism. Today I hear very little of that term, sound doctrine and a sound church. And while it disturbs me that we sometimes would make that statement dependent upon one thing that happens to be the issue of the time, it also disturbs me that there's a lack of looking at what is sound or what is necessary to be sound. I'll start out by looking at this several passages that use this term, and then we'll discuss it a little bit. In Titus chapter 2, in verses 1 and 2, Titus is instructed, "But speak thou the things which befit the sound doctrine, that aged men be temperate, grave, sober-minded, sound in faith, in love, in patience." In Titus chapter 1, a little before that, is talking about those who were qualified to be elders or bishops. He says, "For the bishop must be blameless," going on to say, "holding the faithful word, which is according to the teaching, that he may be able to exhort in the sound doctrine and to convict the gainsayers." In 2 Timothy chapter 1, and in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, "Hold the pattern of sound words, which thou hast heard from me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." Those terms of sound doctrine or sound words are what we want to look at. When you look at that idea of something that is sound, basically you look at a Greek word from which we get our word hygiene. And it deals with that which is healthful, to be for that or of that which is good and healthful, that approaches something that would be beneficial to one's health. And so you have that idea of soundness. You're talking about something that is healthy. That is healthy words or healthy doctrine. That which leads to the life which we ought to have in Christ Jesus. Look at it in its literal sense back in Matthew chapter 8 and in verse 13. I think we get a point of how this word is used. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 13, it says, "And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And the servant was healed in that hour." When you have this idea of he was healed, he was made of health at that time. In Luke chapter 5 and in verse 31, in Luke chapter 5 and verse 31, you have again this term that's used from the original language. There the scripture says, "And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are in health," there's our word, "have no need of a physician, but they that are sick." So the opposite of being sick are those that are in health. And Jesus is pointing out those in physical health are not those that need a doctor or a physician. Well, when you look at that in the literal sense, it's obvious. It's talking about someone who is as they ought to be physically. But we're not talking about in the physical sense of the body now. We're talking about in the soul with regard to the words that are there, with regard to the doctrine. And with regard to one as to whether or not they are heeding that doctrine and putting it into their life. The Greek world had a man by the name of Hippocrates and others that gave some rules for that which was healthy and their ordinances for the body. And to be healthy, Hippocrates had pointed out the fact that you have to be one who not only stays away from that which is unhealthy, but you need to be positively putting in something that is healthful as well. I think we notice the same thing today. That idea of the connotation of being in health or having something healthy is abiding within boundaries of what's known to be healthful for living. That means we don't get ourselves into a place where we're going to catch a disease that's going to take away our health. Nor is it something that we fail to feed the body as it ought and withhold from it the nutrients that are necessary for that one to be healthy. In the normal use of this word sound or healthy in the New Testament, you have not just the idea of a physical health. It's used that way a couple of times, as we've noted. But most of the time, it's talking about that which is of a spiritual health. That which has to do with the health of the mind as a result of dwelling upon the things that are true, that are right according to the Word of God. When you look at the characteristics of soundness, I want us to just go through. Most of the time, this word that's used is used by the Apostle Paul. And it's used within the letters of 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. As there he's speaking to those who are evangelists, he's telling them, here's what you need to do. Here's not what you need to say and what you need to preach in order to benefit the spiritual health, the soundness of those who are listening. Over in 1 Timothy, in chapter 6, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, look with me there in verse 3. It says, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words or sound doctrine, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He goes on to talk about he's proud, knowing nothing, he's obsessed with disputes and arguments and so forth. But in the positive sense of that, when he points out the one that listens to the wholesome words, in other words, the words that are of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's who is identified as being one that is healthy, because he's listening to that which is healthful. When you look over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, that point that we made a few minutes ago, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Now that idea of the pattern of sound words gets to the point that it is that which is authoritative. It's what we need to follow. The Word of God is not given as a list of suggestions for us. It is given as that which is a pattern that we're to hold to. Not go beyond it, not fall short of it, that we stand by that pattern, that it leads our life and shows exactly what we ought to do. Now from that point, he says, now those things that you've heard that are there of sound doctrine, you put that in a pattern. Look at his application at the last of that verse. In faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. By definition, that which is outside of Christ, outside of his teaching, is not sound. It is not healthful. It is not that which leads to the benefit of one spiritually. When we look over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the necessity of preaching the Word is the point, really, of the start of this particular chapter. He had started it out with the idea of the charge to preach the Word. Now look at verse 3. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside unto fables. Well, what's the problem with those who go away from the sound doctrine? The point that's made here is when they are not wanting to do that which is right, when there is a desire that they have that differs from the Word of God, then they reject the sound doctrine. They reject that which is spiritually healthy, and what do? They want someone to teach that which is what they feel, what they believe, what their desire is. As a result of that, he says, they'll give attention unto those things and be turned aside to those things that are fables. If you look at that word fables, it's used several times by the Apostle Paul, not only to Timothy, but also to Titus. And in every single case, it has the same kind of an idea. And that is something that is of man. Something that's not of inspiration, but that which is after the tradition or the tales of men. We know that which is right by that which is inspired. When we look at what the Word of God says, that is from the mouth of God. That's why it's healthy. That's why it's sound. But when we turn away from that to the words of men, there is where we identify that which is not healthful. And we're going to talk about in two senses how that's so. But those things that are of man and have their origin of man are those things that are not according to the sound doctrine. They will not help us to be healthy in the spiritual sense. You remember what Jesus had told those who were the Pharisees back in Matthew chapter 15? In vain do you worship me, teaching what? Teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. When we turn unto the commandments of men and the will of man, we're turning away from that which is eternal in its value and in its origin. The Word of God is inspired by God. It therefore has an eternal origin, and it has that which leads man unto an eternal home with God. That's where the health is found. By God who gave it is the origin, and by it directing us, not in the ways of man, but in the way to come to Him in that end. In 1 Timothy, back there in 1 Timothy chapter 1, we notice a little something different about this idea as well. 1 Timothy chapter 1, look with me there at verse 10. He's speaking of those that the law was not made for, that it was not made for righteous people, but it was made for the ungodly, the sinners, so forth. In verse 10, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to the sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Where did all of those things come from? The things that he names there in verses 9 and 10, all of these ungodly ways, did not have their origin of God. We do not come to sin by abiding in the Word of God and following the instructions of the Word of God. It leads us away from that. If we involve ourselves in sin, what we're listening to, by definition, is something that did not come from God. We're listening to that which had its origin with man. And as a result of that, however innocuous we might have thought it to be at the beginning, it led unto a way that was ungodly. When you look over at Titus, look in Titus, if you will, again. In Titus chapter 1, in verse 13, it says, this testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith. Now he talked about those who are to be rebuked, the verse before that in verse 12, those who are Cretans, they're liars, they're evil beasts, they're gluttons and so forth. Here are people that turned away from God, that are practicing that which is against the will of God. Now what does he say about them? You need to rebuke them that they may be sound in faith. So when you talk about that sound word, or that which makes us healthy in the spiritual sense, you're talking about something that involves rebuking error. Because if error is not rebuked, and we are not drawn away from that, then what happens? We stay in a way that is contrary to the will of God and that is condemning to our soul. That's not healthy. Over again in the book of Titus, a little bit before this, in verse 9. In Titus chapter 1 and in verse 9. There he's speaking to those who are to be considered as elders, as bishops in the flock. He gives their qualifications, and among them is holding fast the faithful word, as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Sound doctrine is that which is according to what is taught, the faithful words that were given by inspiration that Paul and other apostles, inspired men, delivered. That's where it comes from, and what does it do? He says, when those who are elders take that sound doctrine, then they're able, number one, to exhort, and number two, to convict the gainsayer. So it has both elements. If it's going to be useful to that, there's something in that that's able to cause us to be edified, to be built up in the Lord. And there's that which is able to convict us when we say that which is against it. The word gainsaying simply means to speak against. And when one does not speak according to the will of God, then that's something that is gainsaid. They're speaking according to that which is of man. Now what needs to happen? The Word of God needs to be used to say, no, it's not this, it's this that we need to give our attention to. It's that which is found in Scripture, not that which is of man. In Titus chapter 2, in verses 1 and 2, Titus is instructed about what to teach other people. Not just himself, but what to teach other people and what they are to teach others beyond that. He says, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. That the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed." Now he goes on and he talks about what is to be done with exhorting those who are the young men, the young women, those who are servants and so forth. But when you look at all of that, he gets it started by saying, you speak those things that are proper for sound doctrine. And what is that? That there are qualities there that have to do with spiritual healthiness. There is service that's to the Lord and to others. There's that proper frame of mind that is reverent in its thinking. That we get out of the mind those things which have to do with slander and other things that are contrary to the will of God, and that we put into it God's will, teaching that will, living that will, and thinking according to that will. That's the sound doctrine. It breeds, if you will, that which is soundness or healthiness. If we fail to have that, then we're not going to be those that are going to be sound, healthy in the spiritual sense. Do you notice what he does when he starts that out there in Titus 2 and verse 1? He says, you speak these things that are for sound doctrine. Who's the first ones that he addresses? That the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith. There's the same word again. When sound doctrine is encouraged, the first ones that are looked to are those who are older men. There's something I've noticed through the years in gospel preaching. And that is, if you take a congregation that does not have soundness, healthiness, a real knowledge and depth of knowledge of the will of God by those who are older men to be able to lead, you will not have a congregation that's going to stay sound for very long. You're not going to have one that's going to be healthy and doing that which is according to the will of God. Why? Because those are the ones that ought to be there of experience. And if they are not present, then there's no one to look to lean upon, to teach in that sort of a way. But there's another thing that I've also noticed. Sometimes when that's present, there is a rebellion from a younger generation that says, we don't want to do it that way. We want to do something different, and they won't listen to that, which is of the sound doctrine that that older generation has. I don't think that's a problem here because I see younger people who respect those who are older in the faith. And that's a good thing. It needs to continue. We have within this congregation a number of those who are older men who have obviously studied the Scripture throughout their life. And they've gained to a point of a knowledge of that Word to not only be ready to teach it but apply it in their life. That's a good thing. You have no idea how fortunate we are to have those number of older men. But that kind of a thing there in older men is not going to do us that which is good for all time. You younger men, you're coming along. People my age or so are not going to be here in another 20 years. But you're going to be there brought up, having learned the will of God. And it's your place, if this congregation is to stay healthy, to be teaching the will of God, standing for the truth, it's your place to be learning in that. Because you're going to be called upon to be the leaders in that. Now, does it stay just there with older men? No. The next ones that are addressed are older women. I want you to notice something. When older women have filled themselves with the will of God, and they have a reputation for living according to that, younger women need to listen to them. I've noticed through the years that sometimes younger women are rather naive with regard to dress, with regard to actions, as to what comes of that. Older women aren't. You know why? They've seen it through the years. They know what's there. And sometimes when they go and encourage the younger women, there's anger that comes out of that that should not be. No one, when they're trying to encourage that which is soundness and healthiness, that which is according to living godly, are trying to harm anyone. They're trying to help. But a part of that sound word has to do with a rebuke that's rightly placed. Or some word of correction and nudging to go in a direction of soundness. That's going to be something that when older women suggest to you younger women, here's what is down the road with that kind of action or that kind of dress. Listen to them. They've traveled that road. They've seen those things. Just like younger men need to listen to those who are older men, younger women need to listen to the older women as well. And then as they develop in that, then you have that continuity. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the point that Paul makes to Timothy, you take this word, you teach it to those who are faithful men, and they'll teach it to others as well, and then they'll teach it. That's how the Word of God goes. That's how Christianity is promulgated. It is not by physical birth. It is by a new birth. And that new birth comes from a teaching that is of the will of God. That's the only way for us to have a sound continuity of continued goodness and continued right ways in the Lord is for that to be taught one generation after another. In Titus chapter 2, and in verse 8, as you go on down from there, in Titus chapter 2 and in verse 8, the Apostle Paul also speaks to this again, saying, sound speech, here's what younger men ought to be given to, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Now that sound speech that he's talking about, it's not just something that I overtly can't see something that is inherently sinful in it. That's not what he says. He says you give yourself the sound speech that cannot be condemned. In other words, that when it's looked at, it has the evidence of being that which is right. Of being that which is according to the will of God. Now, it doesn't stop with speech. He goes on to point out that it's of action as well. They have no evil to say of you in what you're doing. So what we're saying, what we're doing, in word and in deed, ought to be that which is according to the will of God. And not only not contrary in the sense of overtly sinful, but that it shows forth, that it evidences and teaches that which is helpful to the soul. In 1 Peter chapter 4. You find a passage where the Apostle Peter uses this same word of there being something that is sound. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 7, he says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your souls. That word, serious, has to do with sound. That you be one who is ready with that which is of the way of truth, you be ready to be looking for that, watchful of that. It's not enough to just at some point be doing that which is sound and speaking that which is sound. We need to be watchful all the time for that which is of further soundness, to put that into our life, into our minds, and to see that which is unhealthy, that we might keep that out of there. Now, when you look at those characteristics of soundness that are given there, what do they all have in common? What do they all point to? They all point to that which is of inspired Scripture. That which is inspired of God and spoken within the truth of God. It's not healthy then, or sound, if we give ourselves to something that aids unhealthiness. In other words, that has that unhealthy element about it. You only need a little bit of arsenic to make something good, cornmeal, into rat poison. It doesn't take a majority of that. It doesn't take an overflow. It just takes 1% into cornmeal, and you've got rat poison in it. It won't kill the rat, it'll kill you as well. just a little bit of that is that which is unhealthy. Now look at the point that's made according to that in 2 John and in verses 9 through 11. In 2 John, verse 9, he points it out this way. He says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he that greets him shares in his evil deeds. Now there are several things that are pointed out from that. The first is that we abide in that sound doctrine. In other words, there's something that has its origin of Christ. The doctrine of Christ is the doctrine that comes from Christ. It is of His authority. Since He has all authority in heaven and on earth, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, He tells us that we need to go and we need to teach others to observe all things whatsoever He has commanded. So there's the authority of Christ. You teach that which is according to His will, authorized by Him, and that it is to be in its totality kept. So now what does John say in applying that? If we stay in that, we have the Father and Son. If we go outside of that, what happens? We have neither the Father nor the Son. There is no fellowship with God in that which is outside the doctrine given of Christ. So how do we maintain that walk of being in the doctrine of Christ? Not going outside of it. Verse 10 deals with that. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine. Do you notice what that does not say? That does not say when someone comes to you and teaches against this doctrine, then you don't receive them. That's not what it says. It says when someone comes and does not bring this doctrine. In other words, they're not speaking those things that are according to the truth of God. When you look at that and you recognize the point, the way we keep away from that which is unhealthy is a positive sense. We make sure that what's coming is that which is from the Word of God. Not that from any other source, but that which is true to the book. When you look at any sinful practice comes from sinful doctrine. And that's the point that is made by Paul throughout the book of Romans. When he talks about what they did to bring themselves into sin, chapters 1 through 3, in every time it was to turn away from the will of God. Now where did that lead them? The wages of sin is death, he said, Romans 6 and in verse 23. Now when you look at Romans chapter 16, here's a whole epistle that he's given of understanding how we have salvation in Christ and how we maintain that salvation in Christ. How do you stay away from that being taken from one? In chapter 16 and in verse 17, he says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing divisions and occasions of stumbling. Now get this. Contrary to the doctrine which you learned and turn away from them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly, and by their smooth and fair speech they beguile the hearts of the innocent. When anyone gets the idea that if he's going to depend upon the Word of God, somehow that's going to be boring and he can make it better with his own speech, you're talking about someone who's identified right here. You reject that. You stay away from that. Those who are following a path that is contrary to the will of God are going to cause division away from the truth. That doesn't say any time division happens, it is inherently wrong. Sometimes it may be right. If it is division away from that which is evil, that needs to be there. But the division that he's talking about is the division away from that which is healthy, sound in Christ. How'd that come about? Contrary to the doctrine which you learned. There's the point. We need to give ourselves to that. We need to understand that that doctrine is something that needs to be heeded. Sometimes people say, well, here's something that might be safe. And by that they usually mean, here's something I can't justify it from the Word of God, but it seems to me this would be helpful, that this would be an added benefit. There is no such thing as a safe error. And there is no such thing as safely adding to the Word of God or subtracting from it. No such thing. Only is there safety when we stay in that which is sound. You know, sometimes I've heard some of the recent errors. Back in about 1999, 2000, much of an error regarding creation. How it might not have been 6 literal days, but maybe it's millions or billions of years. I heard repeatedly when that was dealt with, well, what's the big deal about that? What does it matter? That isn't here anymore. It doesn't affect my salvation in Christ. And the idea was, it's an error that's just, it really doesn't matter. There is no such thing. If I can take one passage of Scripture and say, well, now that really doesn't mean what it says, why can't I take every passage and say the same thing? There is a big deal. Anytime we speak contrary to the will of God. And so what we need to do is cease behavior and actions that are outside of the authority of that sound doctrine. Our terminology needs to be that which is according to the Word of God, not that which is outside of it. Somebody says, well, show me where that's wrong or condemned. Show me where it is according to truth, is the question. Our terminology, when it starts to mimic that which is of the denominational world, has an end involved. Why do you think the denominational world talks in the way that it talks? It's not been following the will of God. And when we start to mimic that in our terminology, I can tell you what's coming down the line. I may not be able to pinpoint at this time where is the specific error there, but I know what direction it's heading in. You know why? Because it's not according to the words of Scripture. Our terminology, when it differs, leads our thought along that line. Words are vehicles of thought. And those words lead us away from the truth. They lead us towards that of man. But the words that are according to sound doctrine lead us toward that which is the will of God. If a church or an individual adopt teaching or action or speech that's not authorized of God, they are not sound. That's the simple bottom line to it. When we go away from that which is sound, it is that which will lead us unto a way of wrong. But it's also not sound or beneficial when we turn away from that which is healthy. I want you to go with me to Acts chapter 20. We're just about out of time, so I'm going to skip most of this particular chart that I have. I want to make the point from Acts chapter 20, though. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul is talking to the elders at Ephesus. Notice what he says to them in verse 20. Here's what he did. He says, "How I shrank not from declaring unto you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house." Now, what did he do? He kept nothing that was profitable from them. What does he call that in verse 27? He says, "For I shrank not from declaring unto you the whole counsel of God." We're hearing a great deal of preaching today that worries me. And when I've gone to meetings in this area, I've heard things that absolutely worry me. And here's the reason. Too many times it's been that which is minus Scripture. I know Lee taught her young people in class, you count the Scriptures that Mr. Harry uses. It's a good thing. But let me tell you something, that doesn't only need to be by 5- and 6-year-olds. That needs to be done by 50- and 60-year-olds and 20- and 30-year-olds. When we're speaking that which is not of Scripture, and when you go through an entire lesson and you listen and maybe 2 times or 3 times, they turn to the will of God, they turn to the Scripture, what are they basing their lesson on? It is not the Word of God. The Word of God is the only thing that is helpful. Someone will say, well, now you show me where they taught error. I don't have to. That's going to come in time. And the reason I know it's going to come in time is because you're no longer teaching all that's profitable, the whole counsel of God. Brethren, that's where we need to understand our focus must be. We cannot turn away to the words of man and the stories of man and the jokes and all of these other things that draw people in. They may like to hear them, but they aren't according to sound doctrine. If someone is not turned on by the Word of God, then they need to correct that, not us changing our teaching to get those who aren't turned on by the will of God. We're looking for people who are seeking. Those are the ones that Jesus said we'll find. We're looking at those who are knocking for the truth. That's the ones that He'll open to. But if they're out here wondering about the things of the world and wanting to hear about those and attracted by the world, that's not how Jesus calls people. They're not the ones who are going to come to it. We need to present that truth in every way, in the best possible light. We need to be ones who are not boring. That's not what my point is. But my point is, it comes from the truth. To someone who loves the truth, the Bible is interesting. And it's what they want to learn. I've been a Christian since I was 10 years old. With the exception of a few years in there as a teenager where I wasn't serving God at all. It's constantly amazing to me what the Word of God has in it and how you can grow over and over and over again. What we need to do is be focused in on the Word of God and recognize that it brings us to spiritual health. That's the way that we'll be sound. And that's the way that this church will be sound. I appreciate your attention. We'll stop the lesson at that point. A few other